Alleluia, he is risen. Have you ever had a really powerful experience of God? One which changed your life, or at least in the given moment? Perhaps you had this type of experience on a retreat you attended, where you experienced God in a new and a powerful way. And you thought, everything is different now. And then what happens? You come off that high, right? You have to go back to school, back to work, back to the routine of daily life. And that experience becomes somewhat distant and remote. So I think that's what's happening with the disciples at the beginning of the gospel. They've seen the risen Lord. Thomas touched the wounds of Jesus and made that great proclamation of faith, "My Lord and my God," which we heard in last week's gospel. And then time passes. And it almost seems that the apostles are unsure what they're to do with themselves. So they go back to what they know. They go back to their daily routine, back to their work as fishermen. Peter kind of says, "I'm going back to work." And six others join him. Now, here's where we need to start paying close attention to this gospel. Because oftentimes the details in the Gospel of John are quite significant. We have seven apostles gathered together. Now this will evoke two images. First, the number seven brings us back to the creation story from the book of Genesis, which takes place over 7 days. So we're brought back to that moment of creation. This will be a moment of recreation. Also, the second thing here, in Roman law, a person's will that they would leave when they died required seven witnesses. So the seven apostles are going to act as the executors of Jesus' will. Okay, so what happens to these seven? They go out at night and they catch nothing. Now again, we've got this great symbolism of John's gospel. They go out at night, in the darkness. Friends, in the darkness, you will catch nothing. That's because Jesus is the light. And apart from the light, we can do nothing. This is a fundamental principle of Christianity. We cannot bring people to Jesus unless we ourselves are with him. We cannot be fishers of men if we ourselves are not with Jesus. We cannot be effective witnesses to the gospel of forgiveness if we ourselves have not been forgiven. So often people ask me if priests go to confession. And the answer to that is, of course we do. How could we possibly preach about forgiveness if we ourselves didn't first seek out and receive forgiveness for our own sins? You see, if priests remain in the dark, they won't be able to bring anyone into the light. If we as Christians remain in the dark, we can't preach the gospel to the world. Well, what happens next in our gospel? Dawn comes, and with dawn, so does Jesus. Notice that Jesus comes in the light, and he does so because he is the light. And he gives an instruction to his witnesses. "Now that you're in the light, try casting your nets again and see what happens this time." Now notice how this changed everything. When the disciples are in the light, they're able to make a great catch. When Jesus is in our daily lives, even when we're going about our routine jobs, we can make a great catch. Friends, this is a very important spiritual insight being given to us here. If we want to work for Jesus, if we want to be his disciples, we first have to remember that no matter how skilled we are, we cannot serve God if we do not stand in his light. By all accounts, the apostles were very skilled fishermen, but they couldn't do it on their own. They couldn't even do it as a group, as a community. They needed Jesus. The same is true for us today. This is why we come to Mass every week. We need Jesus. We need him present in the assembly. We need him present in the Word. And most importantly, we need him present in the sacraments. If we don't come into his presence, if we don't encounter Jesus, then our work is in the dark. When we walk away from the church, and even if only for a week, we're fishing in the dark, and our nets will remain empty. But when we're in the light, we make a great catch. God can bring the work of creation to its completion. He can recreate and redeem the whole world. We see this when the beloved disciple tells Simon Peter, "It is the Lord." Notice what John tells us ensues. Peter puts on his clothes and rushes to Jesus. Now, other translations of this gospel are a little more clear. They say that he put on his clothes, for he was naked. Now, I don't pretend to know the customs of fishermen in Jesus' day. Perhaps fishing in the nude was quite common back then. But I think John is making a deeper point. Who else have we seen working in the nude? Adam and Eve. Before the fall in the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve were in the garden with God. And it's not until they sin that they put on clothes. So here we have Simon Peter working in the nude, and he sees Jesus. And what does he do? He puts on clothes, just like Adam and Eve did. Peter, too, was a sinner. But here we're going to see how God is able to redeem the world. There's a difference between Peter and Adam. You see, Adam, when he heard God rummaging through the garden, he hides from God. But Peter, on the other hand, rushes to meet God. Has he sinned? Yes. He denied Christ 3 times. But unlike Adam, Peter knows that he needs to be redeemed. He knows that he needs to be reconciled to God, and that that can only be done by bringing his sin to Jesus. He knows that he can't hide from God. He knows that he can't hide in the darkness and fix the sin on his own. You know, too often, I think we try to do that. We try to hide our sin, and we try to fix it on our own. But let's be honest, folks. How's that working out? It doesn't. Despite what all the self-help books will tell you, despite what Dr. Phil or Oprah may say, you can't do it on your own. You need Jesus to fix it for you. We need Jesus. It's the only way. And he does that. Peter, who denied Christ 3 times, now comes face to face with his own sinfulness. And Jesus asks him 3 times, "Do you love me?" This question is, of course, the essence of Christianity. You see, Christianity, it's not a philosophy. It's not a teaching. It's a relationship. A relationship with God. Notice that Jesus doesn't ask Peter, "Peter, do you believe in my teaching?" No, he says, "Peter, son of John, do you love me?" Our actions as Christians aren't based on some philosophical system. They're based on our love of Christ. That's to say, if we love Christ, we will follow him. We'll do what he asks. We tend his sheep. We feed his flock. And we do this not because someone prescribed it as a rule, but because we're motivated by our love of Christ. Christians, let me suggest this to you. If you're living your faith based on laws, you're missing something. If you come to Mass only because you're afraid of committing a mortal sin, you're missing something. Don't come to Mass out of fear. Come to Mass because you love Jesus and you want to receive him in the sacrament. If you go to confession because you're afraid of dying and you're afraid of eternal punishment, you're missing something. Don't go to confession because of fear. Go because you love Christ and you want to be reconciled to him. See, what we learn today is that Jesus left us his will. And to this we have seven witnesses. His will is that we love him, and that our love for him will motivate us to feed his flock, to care for each other, and to stop fishing at night, but to fish in the light of Christ, so that others too may come to know him, to love him, and to serve him. Brothers and sisters, peace to you and to all who love the risen Lord.